Kurt Crosby. All right? And he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him. And believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
For a show here, and a lot of stuff going on, of course, and I'm glad to be here. I'm feeling pretty good. It's been a week already, and yes, only Wednesday, but this is hump day. And Dave, how you doing, buddy?
Hump day! I'm doing all right.
Good, man.
Just kind of enjoying the sleepy kind of weather we got going up around in here. It's all overcast and rainy. Very good day to just point the toes at the ceiling and sleep.
Yeah, it is a good day for that, and of course I may actually do that later on. I've, you know, I get up very early in the morning sometimes, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and then, you know, I try to take a nap sometimes during the middle of the day, but I can't do it because the show is on, you know. And then on one side or the other, things get kind of crazy, but you know, I end up, eventually catching a little bit of a 25 or a 30 minute nap, you know. Anyhow, but it's good to be here. I feel good. I feel a lot better. And, I mean, I'm getting over some of the stuff that I had to deal with. And, I hope everyone else is healthy out there. A lot of interesting news, of course. You know, there's, more progression on a lot of things pertaining to the investigations on Hillary Clinton. This is, still ongoing, friends. We'll get to the latest details on that, of course. Still a lot of, ruckus with all these, Trump protesters. You know, I just don't understand exactly what it is that they want to get across. They don't like Donald Trump. Okay. So, who's your alternative? Oh, you don't have one. What are your ideas? Oh, you don't really have that either. Maybe Bernie Sanders, he's got a lot of free stuff to give you. And since he's such a rich guy, you know, dig it into everybody's pocket to give that money around. Yeah, maybe so. But why not go to Bernie Sanders? Why not just go over there and help him out? I mean, these people are in your face. And I don't know if you saw this one story. This little gal was out there shouting at people. And if you're going to go to a Trump convention of some sort and you're going to carry all kinds of signs and incite a controversy, well, you're apt to get one. Because people are there and they're busy wanting to get inside. They want to be a part of something. And if people are in their face hassling them and calling them racist and all these other little five letter words or whatever they learned in, you know, sophomore of high school education, if they even got that far, Dave. But, you know.
I suspect they're getting a paycheck, Steve.
Somewhere along the lines, yeah, they definitely are. Somebody's paying them or they're being prompted. And a lot of these kids are so silly, you know, that they will get involved in things like this. And of course, this little gal is yelling at this man, this older man. He's holding up some papers. I don't know if you saw the video or not, but he's not really, he's responding to her, but he's not doing anything aggressive. And there's a lot of people, you know, kind of shuffling around throughout the crowd. Well, she hauls off and punches him. You know, and wasn't but a split second later, she got a face full of pepper spray from somebody else, you know, and then she goes whining and crying off, you know. It's kind of like, you know, well, what do you expect? I mean, you get into this kind of fracas, you get into this mess, you try to shout things down against people in the streets, you know, I've never been one to want to engage in that kind of activity. I think there are much more intelligent ways of dealing with these kinds of things. And, but you know, this is the kind of crowd that's out there. It's a very, like we said, dead frogs that jump kind of knee-jerk reaction, you know, that you see with these people. And it's very surprising to me that, there hasn't been more trouble as of this point, because people are fed up and they're angry and they're tired of it. And as our democratic process, if you call it that, goes, if you don't like a candidate, go get behind someone else. You know, get involved with a solution instead of just a whiny complaint. This is that critical philosophy that we've talked about, where people don't have any solutions. They're just critical of everything. Yep. And that's not what we're about, right, Dave?
Oh, no, we're about all solutions all the time. At least we try anyway. And, yeah, I'm not about to go get in the crowds and join the ruckus. I'm quite content being right here in my chair speaking out to you guys here on RBN about solutions and all sorts of other ideas where we're trying to come up with something useful out of all of this mess rather than trying to get in there and roll around in the mud with the pigs.
Yeah, I love these people. I mean, they really have, you know, I don't think they have anything better to do, and they certainly don't have any idea of what's going on here. But we do provide solutions, and man, we've got a really good guest coming up on Friday. Fred Kelly Grant, who was at one time a former federal prosecutor, came over to our side, friends, to help us uphold the law, and he's been in law for over 50 years, and this man is going to graciously give us his time on Friday for 2 hours. We're going to bleed over into the Tuscan show so that we can take your calls, and I would encourage you to tune in, because this guy knows solutions. I mean, this guy knows how to do these things. Rather than get out in the street with a bunch of signs and holler at people, he knows how to get entangled in the legal processes with so many things that are going down, like the NAFTA superhighway. He managed to stop that. He's now trying to defend some Colorado farmers from having their land taken from them. He could talk at great lengths about the Bundy and Hammond situation, but, oh, man, there's so much more that he deals with. And this is a guy with solutions, and that's going to be Friday, and everything's all hooked up, I think, and ready to go for that. And I want to just let you know that if you do listen to our show very often, we will try to provide the archives of that program, and we'll be cutting those down. I mean, probably putting up a YouTube on it, but Fred Kelly Grant is really an excellent guest, and I don't know if he's been on the network here or not, but I mean, we got first dibs on him right here on our show, Dave, so I'm excited.
Absolutely. No, this is going to be a good one. After listening to some of the things he's got to say, it's like, yeah, we definitely need to have a nice conversation with this guy, because he's out there actually trying to do something, taking the legal due process tools that are disposable, at our disposal, Freudian slip there,
yeah,
and using them to a pretty good end. And it's good. We need more people like that out there.
Yeah, we really do, and I think people are going to be impressed with him as a man who really, well, I think, you know, I posted some of his videos. The one particularly interesting is the one that was dealing with the farmers out there, the Emmerich Farms, that were on these government easements for conservation. You know, they took this land that was offered to them by the state of Colorado when they had some money, and they set up all kinds of ecological things like wind turbines and, you know, land preservation projects and stuff. They were doing that already, and they actually had some of this land. And now the state of Colorado, since they're out of money, they want to come back and try to force them off and make them pay back taxes and stuff like this. It's absolutely incredible what's going on out there. This
is
just
nuts.
Yeah.
How the hell is Colorado out of money now that they're selling pot and taxing it? I thought that was doing better than what they expected. Why are they still out of money?
Yeah, you know, speaking of, I have still yet to see the big check, you know, like Publishers Clearinghouse, where they have this big check, you know, that they walk in with that says $66 million. Now, they only appropriated $40 million. They were only expecting $40 million in tax revenue on marijuana products, friends, hemp and marijuana. And they now have, well, probably $66 to $70 million. They made a lot more than they thought they would. And I've never yet seen them come out with a big check that says, well, just like we said, all this money was going to go to the schools or to these programs here, and here's a big check to the schools of Colorado for $37 million, which was about the percentage of what we promised. I have yet to see it. Where is that money? You know, I mean, come on. I mean, I'm not, I don't smoke weed anymore, friends. I haven't for a long time. But, you know, the thing is this. I believe if they're going to tax that, let's see where the money's supposed to go. This was supposed to go to schools. It was supposed to go to conservation projects. It was supposed to go to a lot of things. And I have yet to see anybody give us a real breakdown. I guess maybe if I looked really hard, I could call my state senators and people like that to find out about where that money went. Where's the money?
Where's the money? Show me the money. Yeah, you might get some answers. And then again, you might just get a runaround because somebody probably put it in their pocket. You know, it's the same thing with the lotteries. It's supposed to be for, you know, scholarships. You know, like here in Arkansas, the Arkansas Scholarship Lottery. We're doing all these wonderful things, and nobody's really benefiting from it. And they've so poorly managed it, it's an absolute Charlie Foxtrot.
Yeah, that's what's happening all over with all the government funding that's out there. And we know it's going on, friends. We've been watching it. You have too. And, you know, the situation is very simple, that we would like to see what they're doing with all of this. And why Colorado should be broke at this point when they took in probably at least $70 million on taxes on marijuana. Very high taxes, as a matter of fact, you know, in terms of a product. So high. The prices are so high that, you know, I think they allow you to grow three plants in your basement, you know, three adult plants, as long as you keep them locked up and away from children and all this kind of stuff. Most people just decided to grow their own, you know, and stay at home. You know what I mean? Because it's gotten so expensive, and the taxes, and if they're not putting the money where it's supposed to be, you know, I think it's a really, really, nefarious situation developing over that whole thing. I'd like to see where it went because they should have that money out there and earmarked, and they should be making programs and news reports and newspaper articles and columnists, and even the people who are in favor of all this should be saying, look at the money that we raised for the schools and for other good things, you know. But we don't hear that, do we?
No, we surely don't.
We're not entitled to hear it. It seems that is all. Well, you know, how's things going with the economy right now, Dave? I mean, you're watching things internationally. Anything new happening right now in the international trading market?
No, not really. Just more of the same. Kind of still waiting for the dust to settle after the Yellen debacle yesterday, sending the markets into an absolute frenzy of chaos when she was on the podium. Sitting there talking, everything was just absolutely wonky everywhere. And it always is. Whenever one of those people opens their yap, it always gets weird. So we tend to try to avoid those times. If we know they're going to be having a Federal Reserve announcement, hey, I think we're going to sit on the sideline and watch until the dust settles.
Yeah, that's what you got to do in most cases because, you know, too much of nothing will drive a man insane, as the old song says. Well, hey, we got Steve in California who helped us hook up this interview. Let's see if we can get to Steve real quick here. I know he's a pretty busy guy, and talk to him a little bit. Steve, are you out there?
About this money that should be coming from their marijuana sales. Reminds me of those contests where they say that a winner will win this, and then we never hear about that winner ever coming forward or ever announcement of the winner. Yeah, where's that money? Where's all that money coming in from the profits of marijuana sales? Where's all that money?
Everybody wonders. I certainly haven't heard about it, but we will keep an ear to the ground, you know, to see what happened to the money. But yeah.
Yeah, they need to push some of these legislators who were for all this to say, hey, where is it? I mean, show some accountability. Where's the money going? If it's supposed to benefit the state, where is the money now?
Right. Yeah, we don't know. Hey, I do want to thank you, though, for helping us set up the interview with Fred this Friday. So appreciate that.
Oh,
so
you're
much.
Welcome. Totally welcome.
Looks like we're all set. Hope we'll have it up and running. And of course, you're certainly welcome.
Yeah, your listeners are in for a treat. This guy is sharp as a tack. He may be 79 years old, but you'd never know it. His mind is very sharp. Sharp guy.
Right, and you just recently attended a seminar with him, right? And that's kind of how you get to, yeah. It was quite enthralling in terms of the informative measures and things like that that he told you about, right?
Yeah, we're setting up a coalition out here in California to basically, he's going to talk about a process called coordination. I'll let him go more into that detail. But because it's a process that if you use it, it definitely works in the legal system. It kind of you use the law against the people that are trying to impose new laws on you. So I'll let him discuss that more with you, because that's actually his baby. He's coined that phrase, and actually he's the trademark of that, I guess, coordination. But no, it was a great seminar. I came away knowing a heck of a lot more. And you can be sure I'm going to use that coordination where I see wrong done in my local community here. So, and he talks about keeping on the local level, the small government local level is where you start. You start there. So, you guys are in for a treat. Guys sharp.
Yeah, and we'll be taking over the Tuscan show for the second hour. And this is the kind of thing that even Bob Tuscan should be in the front row, sitting front and center, listening to, because, you know, he'd like that. Be the activist, you know, the Bob Tuscan guy, you know, so, but I'm impressed. Yeah, it's going to be good. I really hope this comes off, and we have a really good interview, and we will provide the podcast for it too, Steve.
Very good, very good. No, I urge your listeners also to pull out their legal questions, because this guy's sharp. He was an ex-federal prosecutor in Maryland, and he's got answers, and by golly, he knows the Constitution really well, so he can point out flaws and show you where your case is, so your audience, listen up and pose some questions at him. Throw some questions at him.
Yeah, we will. Sounds good, man.
All right. Buddy, talk to you guys later.
All right. Thanks so much, Steve. All righty.
Hey, thanks, Steve.
Hey, yeah, Dave, any comments? We got another Steve. Is Steve in Colorado hanging? You got any comments, or we'll get to Steve in Colorado?
Hey, I think it's Steve BN. You know, I thought I was already talking to a Steve in Colorado, but, you know, hey, maybe there's more than one.
Yeah, if it's not Fred, then it's Steve, you know. So, hey, Steve in Colorado, how you doing, buddy?
I'm alive and seeing the web manipulation right before me.
Yeah, that's what's happening. What's new?
Steve, what part of Colorado are you in?
I'm up here in the kind of Greeley area.
Oh, okay. All right, not that far.
Yeah, where are you at?
In the Springs.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. That's right. We've talked before. How you been?
Yeah. Maybe we should meet up one day, man. That'd be nice.
Yeah, we should, really. There's a lot of cool people named Steve in Colorado, man. You know?
Yeah. you know, when they, before they legalized, you know, before the slaves were allowed to smoke pot.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, you know, they're allowed, they're good kids, good children, and they're allowed to, you know, smoke. I didn't think it was a good idea. Because of what you just said, where the taxes are going, it's probably going into more of a enforcement, more into like a surveillance, more into a military, you know, style enforcement, and you know, and the pockets are getting filled,
yeah,
so on and so on. We can go on. How could you trust anything where it's even called a tax anymore?
Right,
you can't.
There is one major problem that has resulted from this, and this is the, what is it, 0.05 nanograms of THC in blood liter, I think it is. I don't remember the exact numbers. You can look this up in the books. But the trouble is, of course, as you know, that THC remains in your system for quite some time. And so how do they, now, they're pulling people over and trying to determine that they're under the influence of marijuana, DWAI, you know, DWI, under the influence. And so a lot of people are being arrested and clocked for this thing. And of course, this is a serious problem because now, you know, you're looking at your insurance rates. You're looking at losing your license. You're looking at going to rehab and all this. And one of the problems, of course, you have is even with topical, ailment type, salves and things like that that have THC in them. Let's say that, you know, you have a sore ankle and you put some of this salve on your ankle to soothe it. If there's any THC in that, that could remain in your bloodstream or could be
right, Tom. I mean, Steve, but there is oil that doesn't have high THC psychological content in it.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I mean, if a cop pulls, you know, if a policy officer pulls you over, you know, the first question I would ask him is, have I committed a crime? And is there any damage done? If there's no damage, how could you pull somebody over if what? You know, why is he getting pulled over in the first place?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? That's the whole thing right there from the get-go. It's, you know, have I committed a crime?
Yeah.
You know, what's the problem? Why are you pulling me over?
Right.
You know, and then if they want to, you know, I know in Texas, right, they're drawing blood from people, right? Or is that California? I think it's California.
Well, yeah, you can. They can do that in Colorado if you either don't subscribe to the breath test or whatever sobriety, roadside sobriety, which is, you know, that's a questionable test too. They draw your blood.
Oh, really?
As well. Yeah.
They can draw blood.
Yeah, they do. They do it. They do at times take blood.
Especially
if their
breathalyzer
does. Yeah, if their breathalyzer doesn't work, they take blood.
Wow.
That's happened.
Well,
yeah.
You know what? Probably the next time around when my license expires, I probably won't even sign up for it.
Hmm. Well, I mean,
that's what people should start doing is just don't sign up. Get your car insured. And, you know, if they're going to start drawing blood from people, I think it's insane. It's total infringement.
Well, the way the law is in Colorado, if you refuse the test, you lose your license anyway for a year. But questions as to whether it's better to just refuse or go through the process. I've had different people tell me different things. Anyhow.
All right, Steve. Thanks a lot, man.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Good to hear from you, buddy. All right. We'll be right back on Lightspeed. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. More to come.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. There's more money in treating symptoms. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from takefromcaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at takefromcaesar.us.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Welcome back, everybody. Lightspeed continues here on the Hump Day Wednesday, and we're glad to be along with you and have you along with us. And, of course, You know, phone lines are still open, 800-313-9443, and we got some pretty good calls here. You know, as I said before, with the whole marijuana laws and the situation, we had a lot of people, and a friend of mine from Denver called me up, and he said they're just pulling people over all the time. And, you know, some people might have a little bit of THC still in their system from smoking a reefer 3 days ago or something like that. So this turned into a real problem there. And this is one of the things that has been a downside, because they can't really define this. And they've gotten frustrated even in the Supreme Court. These cases have gone all the way to the Supreme Court, Dave, where they're questioning how can you determine what the level of intoxication is on marijuana, you know? And so some of these cases have gotten frustrated and thrown out and stuff like that, because they really don't have any. I mean, it's so new that nobody can really say, you know, like with alcohol, originally it was what, 0.08 was impaired, I guess it was, and 0.1 was you know, driving while intoxicated, and they've moved those numbers around for a long time. I mean, they were talking about these different ways of determining whether somebody had actually had too much alcohol to be driving. And that those numbers varied from state to state, and oddly enough, the ones with the highest numbers, like 0.1 or 0.15, you know, they were they had the least accidents with alcoholism, and so they were trying to point out, like, hey, you know, this doesn't make any sense, because or, you know, people who were impaired, they said, you know, how is it that, you know, this, there's no relevance or correlation to the to these numbers at this low level? Now, if you start getting up above one, you know, 0.15, you start getting into some real trouble, you know what I mean, because now you're talking about a lot of alcohol in your system. But, you know, on these low levels, and they had this thing at 0.05 here in Colorado for a long time, which was considered driving while impaired. So that meant if you had like one beer, you were basically under the driving while impaired, not intoxicated. And it was basically the same penalty as being 1.5, you know, 0.15. But anyhow, I don't want to get into all this numbering and everything like that system on the whole deal, but there's always been questions about, you know, what they're using to determine whether somebody is actually intoxicated, especially if they're driving under the influence of marijuana. And that's probably where a lot of that money went. But I was thinking maybe Steve in Colorado might have had some information as to, you know, where a big readout, you know, where I could go to a news site of some kind and see where the big money payout was from all the taxes collected, you know, over $66 million. And I think I mentioned this before on this show, Dave, that they put this proposition before the state voters, and they said, well, since we only appropriated $40 million for the money that we would raise on marijuana sales in the state, and we've raised 66, what should we do with the additional 26? A, give it back to the taxpayers. B, put it into another system. Or C, use it ourselves in some other way. And guess what people voted for? B and C, you know, like, well, no, we don't really want our money back, man. You know, you just can't.
I don't believe that for a second.
It's true. It's true. I voted on it. I said, I've got to watch this. I want to know what they're going to do. And the people actually decided to let the state keep the money, the extra money. That's true. That's you wouldn't. I'll look it up if you don't believe it. It is actually true that.
Oh, I'm sure that that's what the result is that they've published.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that that's actually the sentiment of the people. With the economy just absolutely, you know, craptastic these days, people living paycheck to paycheck to paycheck, you don't think they're going to want to get every last cent they can and get a little bit ahead? No, I don't believe that for a second. That sounds rigged to me.
I would have thought maybe it was, but, I mean, I looked at every county, and every county in the state, it was running almost 65%, 2-1, against holding onto the money. And I couldn't figure out why people were thinking that way. You know, I guess they thought, well, we'll probably never see it anyway, or who knows, you know. But I don't know. It was I don't know why people would vote that way, but they did. Yeah, I'll have to give you the results, and you'll be surprised, and you think, well, maybe they did fix it some way. But I'm telling you, they just about did it in every county, because almost all the people voted to let the government hang on to the extra money. And I couldn't get it. I don't know, Dave. Maybe you're right. I would like to think you are. Please tell me.
I would say there's a possibility. They probably stuck it in their porn budget.
Yeah. Convince me you're right. I need that, man. We'll be back after the break, friends.
are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at herbalhealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA olive leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA elderberry power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit herbalhealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. Herbalhealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
There's an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocholine therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking Extendovite. It's been approved to help my heart.
Extendovite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. Extendovite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about Extendovite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking Extendovite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
speed continues, and kind of an update. I remember the three options that were on that tax bill, Dave. One was reimbursed the money to the general fund, which meant everybody would get a little slice or a little discount on state taxes, equally balanced, of course, as it would work out. The other was return the money to the growers since they overpaid tax that was appropriated for the use. And then the third one was just leave it in the coffers here and the state will find a way to pay for it. And that's the one they took. So, I mean, I don't know. It's crazy, isn't it? But, you know, it's amazing that people, you know, seem to think that they need to pay more tax all the time. And I don't understand why the public thinks that way. Because the money doesn't usually stay here. I mean, unless it's state taxes, of course, or sales taxes. A lot of that money ends up embellishing the IMF and all these international banks. And, you know, you kind of follow the trail on that, Dave. Where is it? Tell us a little bit about where this goes, if you can.
There's a big black hole. It goes away, never to be seen again, where these people stick it in their pockets and roll around in it naked and buy all sorts of hookers and porn and all that. Seriously, I don't know what they're doing with it. Most of the money that's collected from the income tax, the IRS is the collection agency for the Federal Reserve. IRS and Federal Reserve are both private corporations. And this country ran fine on tariffs and excise taxes, and now we're paying probably, you know, for the most part, more money than what we're making on taxes. Just because, you know, you think you're paying 30%, you know, federal income tax because you're in one of the higher brackets, that doesn't take into account that your employer also has to pony up just as much money. So in all reality, the government is getting more money from your employer than you are. I mean, how screwed up is that crap?
Yeah, it is, and it's affecting employment tremendously, friends, because they'll shut down companies who are delinquent in paying taxes. I know I worked for a company that was fell way behind in paying employee tax, and they shut everything down. We all lost jobs because of it, you know. And we were still getting our amount taken out, and, of course, you know, we're waiting on our paychecks. And, I mean, it was locked up, and nobody got anything. We were working for about 2 weeks and didn't get paid at all because they locked the whole business up. It was a big corporation. It was, you know, like one of these one-hour photo operations in the Denver area, and they went out of business and, you know, left us high and dry. So, I mean, this kind of stuff is out there. And then you have workman's comp, you know, and then, of course, you have to comply with some form of insurance if you have, like, over 25 or whatever it is, 50 employees. I'm not sure exactly which. But, you know, I mean, it's almost like they're making it harder and harder on companies to hire people. And this is the biggest problem that we're having in the country right now, is that we're losing so many companies and so many jobs due to the fact that all these regulations and taxes have gotten so far out of control.
Oh, yeah. And it's making it very hard for the small business to compete and ever start to grow. You're never going to see businesses grow from the ground up anymore because it's nearly impossible. It's all biased to the big box corporate franchise stores. Yeah, that's real fair. And that's working out so good for us now, isn't it?
Yep, sure is, or is not. You know, and even though they're starting to have troubles as well, you know what I mean?
You didn't see my sarcasm sign, Steve? I thought you did.
Let's see. Let me check out your sarcasm sign.
Oh, yeah, yeah, see, sarcasm. It's blinking. It's real bright.
Hey. Now, I mean, Dave's got so many gadgets now. He's got a little wolf whistle kind of thing that alerts me to when callers call in because I get to talking. You know, I keep thinking, you know, this is a talk radio show and I have to fill the space somehow, but no, actually it's a, we have a lot of fun with all the stuff that we're working on there. He's got a little sarcasm signs and various other things that we have to look at. Let me see if I can get back over to these, the right window here. That's my big problem, of course, you know, but, yeah, we're having fun. And, at the same time, we're fighting a real battle, friends. You know, let's get honest, you know, I don't take it, I keep a little humor and kind of a light, approach to it sometimes because I, you know, if you've listened to me, I can get pretty cranked up and Dave has to calm me down, you know, so, but.
You're coming to the wrong cowboy for that, Steve.
No, this ain't his first rodeo, I'll tell you that. Rodeo! But anyhow, speaking of rodeos, you know, another one coming up here was a story from RBN's website, republicbroadcasting.org, criticism of the IDF, that's the Israeli Defense Force. Outrageous, quote, outrageous, according to Benjamin Netanyahu, after a soldier finishes off a wounded Palestinian stabber. I don't know if you saw that video. I did.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Anti-Semite. You can't criticize me. Anti-Semite.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. And I mean, I'm in touch with some people. And of course, I have to be very careful about all this chatter that goes on. I'm not a totally anti-Israel person, but I do not like the Labor Party government in Israel in particular, friends. And I'm a little bit more articulate, I think, than most people about Israel, because I pay attention a little bit more to what's happening in the party politics there, because it's the same situation. They have the same situation there that we have in our country, friends, that they have two sides and they're running things in between. And speaking of in between is Benjamin Netanyahu. And of course, you know, he's trying to defend the IDF for this attack. There was if you haven't seen the video, it's up there. I'm sure you can see it. It's, you know, it's not very pleasing. It's disturbing. Somebody was shot in some sort of altercation. A man was lying in the street, and instead of getting help to him while they had it looked like an ambulance there loading up people, a soldier just walked over and shot him through the head. You know, they weren't gonna rescue this guy. They just shot him through the head. And this ended up on the internet, and of course Netanyahu's now trying to make, all kinds of belligerent statements. And let me tell you something, friends. Bibi Netanyahu is not to be trusted by anybody. Okay, by anybody. He's an insider. He's working with the CFR. He's working with the U.S. policy. He's working with people on both sides of the fence. And he's playing games in the middle. Because even though he talks tough, and he acts like he's the big defender of the Israeli policy, he's always catering sometimes to the undertow of what's going on under influence by both the Labor Party or the U.S. government or other factions here. So the man is basically just an actor. He's not for real at all. And we've talked about how he got into power, some of the things that have gone on. He really may sound like he's a hardline conservative. But the reality is, I think that's just a facade. It's just something that he's keeping up in a job he's playing in order to keep people thinking that's what he's all about, when in reality, there are people who are actually selling out deals all the time underneath him that he's going along with. And, I just don't trust him. The guy is, he's not somebody, I mean, he's an old crony of Mitt Romney. That's where he came from. You know, that's why he sounds like a Boston type guy, you know.
Twit.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. Now, I'm not anti-Israel. In fact, you know, I pray for the people of Israel, because they're having very similar problems that we are. The government and system is abusing the common people quite a bit. And I'm not going to blindly support a government that is, taking them down a very, dastardly path, you know, all these war crimes and, you know, just evil stuff. You know, if we're to believe that they're the chosen people and we need to support them, why would we support them doing something so contrary to the will of God? Is that really helping them out, or is that leading them down the path to hell? You know, let's think about that for a second, because the people and the government are two different things. And this government, it's evil, and it needs to go.
Absolutely, and we're in agreement there. You know, I mean, you know, most people don't realize, but about 25 to about 30 years ago now, Israelis and Arabs and Palestinians were starting to settle things quite a bit. They were starting to work out situations. Tensions were starting to alleviate. People were beginning to work together. And that's when the roadmap to peace came, or the roadmap to hell, as I call it. Because the idea was, well, we'll have land for peace. Well, what does that mean? Well, we got to have a war so we can negotiate the peace to get the land. I mean, what they did was a divide and conquer situation. As we've talked about so many times on this show, Dave, that they basically, instead of people saying, look, we're going to have to live in this situation, we're going to have to work things out, we're going to have to cooperate, and instead of cooperation, they sided people off on two different corners of the ring and started this whole mess going again. A lot of people would be in not very happy when I tell you that I never supported the partitioning of Gaza. And the reason why is because I knew that this was going to become another hotbed situation where there was going to be wars and battles. And lo and behold, Gaza is nothing more than an open-air concentration camp, friends. and it has not been good for, I think, for anybody in that region. And so the whole situation is every time they try to partition and put people in little areas, all they do is create real estate wars in that locality, and it gets worse with every round. And, I mean, it's, how can I say this? You know, I have a friend of mine who took some pictures of Los Angeles, or had some pictures, actually. He didn't take them, of course. He was way too young, back in, like, the 1920s, Dave. And I'm looking at this dirt road going next to a big orange orchard, you know. And this is, like, the maybe the early 20s. And he says, that dirt road is Wilshire Boulevard. Is now Wilshire Boulevard. You're from LA, you know the LA area. You know where Wilshire Boulevard is, right? Of course.
Yeah. I'm not from LA, and I regret the time I spent there. Been there, done that. Never, ever need to do that again.
Right, but you know, Wilshire Boulevard is right on the border of Bel Air and Rodeo Drive and, you know, Beverly Hills. It's kind of in the nicer part of the, well, it was a nicer part of downtown LA.
If I could go back in time to the 20s, it actually might have been a pretty, pretty place to be, because, you know, even today, you get one or two days a year when the offshore flow comes in and all that crap gets blown out to sea, and it really is beautiful country. You can see all the mountains. You can see as far as the horizon will let you, and you've got the ocean there. Not that that's all that safe anymore. Thank you, Fukushima.
Yeah.
So, you know, I really don't have any use for it. You know, it's a Charlie Foxtrot of people. You know, if you didn't have a map with the borders on there, you'd see, think the whole damn state's one big gigantic city.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, if that's about what it is in that whole area, because, you know, even my dad was out there in the early 50s when he was training troops at Camp Pendleton in the Marine Corps, and he was living at Dana Point, and he's got pictures and slides that he took of the hibiscus fields, and, I mean, they lived in this little house on the point. It's still there, I think. You know, it's an old relic by now, but there was no one out there. No one. I mean, here you are right on the West Coast in a beautiful area. Today you go there, there's a huge Marriott hotel and Mercedes-Benz and all these yachts and five-star seafood restaurants. And,
it's too crowded for me. You know, I was in Anaheim for a while, and I was about ready to just throw in the towel and say, I am done with this nonsense. I can't stand this crap. You know, the air had days where it was bad enough where, you know, you couldn't see to the end of the block. And I found a nice little community up in the Santa Ana's called Silverado. Absolutely beautiful and peaceful up there. I actually loved it there. And I had a commute down back to Anaheim because I still worked in Anaheim. And you top that last hill and you see this black layer of just ick, you know, hanging over the entire city. And my gut instinct was to turn around and go home because I don't want to breathe that for 8 hours.
Yeah, it's that bad. And of course, it's just gotten worse over the years because, again, what's happened is various groups of ethnics, and I'm not against ethnics, friends, but what's happened is there's been a huge flood of people that have come into that area. I don't know how big that metropolitan complex is right now, but I think it's something like, 15 to 20 million people from Chatsworth all the way down to San Diego. I don't know. Is it that big? Maybe bigger.
But too damn many.
Yeah. And what I'm seeing is actually what's happened with Israel in the last, since 1945. I mean, if you go back and read Mark Twain's, analysis, his trip to the Holy Land, as he called it or whatever, in 1900, it was pretty desolate. There weren't a lot of people. There were less than a million people there in 1931, and now, there's quite a few people, probably as well as many as 15 million there living at this point. So what's happened in that area has been a huge influx of population. Yes, there's about 6 million Jews, 5.5, and another 6 million Palestinians who came from someplace. They're not all from Palestine, friends. They're not indigenous. But the thing is, you've got a lot of people in that area. And that's the big problem. It's very much like what happened to Southern California, but it happened even faster. With a lot of different groups of people, no specifics, and people who didn't really like each other very well. And when you look at this situation, what you realize is you've got a lot of people that have to learn to live together, and that's not what they're trying to do. They're keeping this antagonism going, and so now you hear Bibi Netanyahu and what he's saying here, and how, you know, he's adding to this antagonism with some of these statements that are pretty outrageous. But again, you know, this is about his his position. See, this is, he's the guy that has to stand up and talk tough, and that's what he does. And he does this on behalf, so that the Labor Party doesn't take the heat, and Likud, which he's no longer with either. You know what I mean? He's like the, in his centrist party, and he's talking about bloody murderers and people like that, and, that, you know, he just basically blames all of these people, these, Palestinians, and in some cases they're just people who are trying to get by, and they're being hassled left and right by a very, very locked down, heavy duty, it is a racist system, but it's a martial law system. And that's a big part of it. So, hey, Dave, we got another call coming in here. Unless you have time to take it here before the break and maybe have to hold them over. Let's see if we can get to Paul in New Jersey. Paul, are you out there?
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good. Listen, concerning Netanyahu, you know, you ever hear of Daniel Goldhagen's book titled Hitler's Willing Executioners?
No, I haven't. Go ahead and tell us.
All right, well, that was a book that came about probably about 12 years ago. And his basic thesis is that the German people were collectively guilty because they elected Adolf Hitler and basically were Hitler's willing executioners. And so I used the same phrase today about other people who were eager to mass murder people or forgiving people who've actually already committed murder, like Hillary Clinton. I'm calling the Democratic voters out there Hillary's willing executioners, because they're voting for a woman who belongs in the Hague for war crimes for president. And so the same for the Israeli people. I mean, it was really Jewish people who wrote the, you know, and were the leaders of the Nuremberg trials and set these whole standards of behavior and war crimes, and codified that back in 46 to 47, I believe, when it took place. So they're the ones who made that into international law and set the moral high ground. And so now, unfortunately for them, they painted themselves into this corner where they think they can get off because of their privileged victim status.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big part of the whole propaganda thing. Hang in here, buddy. We got a break.
Sure.
Let's get into some more of that discussion after the break. Stay tuned, friends. We'll be right back.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is a public announcement. Be ready to copy down a website address at the end of this message. Here's your chance to own land in our great nation for as little as $350 down and $99 a month. At the end of a year, you own it. This is your chance to own a piece of New Mexico in the foothills of a beautiful mountain range that's a national park, yet a short drive to town, a perfect place to camp or own as an emergency retreat for your family for generations. $350 down, $99 a month. Go to landho.tv now. Similar sized parcels in the same development have sold for up to $15,000, some even more. Folks, we bought this land right and can pass the savings on to you. Purchase online via PayPal at landho.tv. Other listeners have already visited and purchased from our website, so we know there's a keen interest. Don't let this be a missed opportunity for you. Land that's yours in less than a year for an incredible $350 down and $99 a month. Inventory is getting seriously scarce, so visit our website today. Land in sunny New Mexico for $350 down and $99 a month. Landho.tv. LANDHO.TV.
Segment today of Lightspeed with Etheric Dave and myself, Steve Starrs, and we have Paul in New Jersey. We were talking a little bit about Hillary's crimes and comparing those underneath the auspices or guidelines of Nuremberg.
Oh, Paul.
Yeah.
There he is. Paul, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, my point is there's a lot of living war criminals in our midst today. Barack Obama's one, George Bush, Cheney. There's a bunch of them. But they're on the winning side, and that's one of the lessons of Nuremberg also, is that the winning side declares who the war criminals are. So we tolerate war criminals as our leaders. Nobody does anything. We tolerate certain groups committing genocide, such as the Soviets. And ADL and the Wiesenthal Foundation, they never pursued any of the Soviet war criminals. So it's all very selective reinforcement on these things. So it's, you know, the high ground is whoever has the bully pulpit, who has the money, who has the historic narrative.
Yep.
And then, and on that sense, the Jewish people have that, you know, like, really special victim status, which gives them the ability to get away with mass murder and basically fund and support, I believe, ISIS now in Syria.
Well, you know, I think you're right about that victim status, but don't you think it's starting to wear kind of thin? Because it seems to me like, you know, there's a generation who's come up who know not the Holocaust anymore. And, of course, the questions about the Holocaust, the 6 million number is way out of kilter. 4 million, 3 million, 2 million, probably less than 1 million Jews actually were imprisoned, mostly for political reasons in a lot of those cases. But you know, there were people who suffered in the Holocaust. I know people
sure.
who lost family. I'm not completely disavowing that. I'm not a Holocaust denier, but the number of 6 million was never accurate. And now people are starting to say, okay, what's really been going on all this time?
Yeah, and they're very fervent about building museums for others to promote their victim status, to drill it into our heads, and making Holocaust studies mandatory in high schools, as in the state of New Jersey. And so this is actually them having the bully pulpit, because let's be honest, they are wealthy, savvy people who dominate the media and are and highly ethnocentric. Of this, you know, don't forget there's two really groups. Then there's the more assimilated, like the good ones, as we say, you know what I mean? And which are the vast majority, actually, and that's what's tragic. I mean, think about it, you know, the white people might complain about Jews getting America into war, but really, Jews voted against George Bush in, 88, and they voted for George Bush Jr. in 2000. Mm. They voted for Democrats, and Democrats are generally dovish, except for small interventions like with, Clinton and in Serbia, and then the treachery of a Hillary Clinton Obama, what they've done to Libya and Syria.
Yeah. Yeah, it can vary either way, of course, but you know, you're absolutely right that what happens here, of course, are people are led around, and there are a very strong and growing group of conservative Jews in the United States today who, by conservative, that's such a, you know, nebulous word, right? But I'm saying that they're looking at a lot of the things that are happening, and they're saying, look, you know, we're setting ourselves up for another big problem here, especially with what's going on, and I appreciate those kinds of people.
Yeah, but it's the neocons, as Edmund Burke said about, you know, the best lack all conviction, the worst are filled with passionate intensity. You know, that's the problem of the Jewish people, is these neocon William Crystal types and the Daniel Pearls in high places.
Yeah. All right, Dave, give us a send-off, buddy, if we can.
All right, we'll be back. Stay safe, stay free.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without military funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The day after 3-22-3-2-2. Why is 3-2-2 significant? Because, well, there's a little pesky group of megalomaniacs called the Skull and Bones. Ever hear of them? Well, it just so happens that a little occulted satanic tradition utilizes different aspects of numerology. And they have certain ritualistic seasons. One of such ritualistic seasons is the season of sacrifice. Or what I would like to dub as the season of satanic death ritual. The gist of it is, it's fairly predictable to show that on significant days, such as